Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. Couple of homeschooling dads trying to find the light switch on the side of the wall here, trying to understand how to interpret the recent events in lieu of the re-election of Obama to President of the United States. And I have not heard this much feedback. I haven't seen this much glumness after election in my lifetime. Now, friends, what people are saying right now on the blogs, what some of the conservatives and Christians are saying now, the leaders across America are saying right now, were things that I was saying back in 1988, back in 1992, 96, 2000. I had these same sentiments 20 years ago. I could see a trajectory in this nation. It was not good. There were some fundamental problems. And the best thing that has happened in my lifetime was probably Ronald Reagan, which didn't really provide that much of a correction to anything in the 1980s. Certainly didn't help in the Supreme Court of the United States redirect itself towards a pro-life stance. It certainly did not shift directions financially. We certainly saw a massive increase in debt spending in the late 1980s especially, but also during Reagan's administration. And we certainly didn't see a shoring up of the size of government at all in the 1980s. And friends, the bottom line is there is so much momentum working. We have 150 years of momentum working, and nobody standing in front of that freight train is going to slow it down anytime too soon. That's just the way things work right now. We have to see that there are fundamental problems with the culture, with the state of the family in America, that is not going to be reversed. And Dave, certainly it was the breakdown of marriage that started it in the 1960s. And Ronald Reagan did sign the first no-fault divorce law in California in 1967. He repented of that over the succeeding 13 years before he became president of the United States. But I think that was an indication of where the nation was going. And there was nothing that Reagan could do or any one person could do to slow down this freight train that was moving towards the dissolution of the family and the breakdown of freedom in America.
I think by 1960, the train had left the station. It was well on its tracks, and it was picking up steam. By the time we get 1980s, it was at full momentum.
That's a lot of MV. You cannot get in front of that thing and slow it down.
You cannot. You cannot. You know, the big break, of course, is the fear of God. But nobody was really willing to grab that handle.
Yeah. No. And certainly the schools. Nobody was talking about the schools either, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, nobody was saying we've got to bring the fear of God back into the schools. We certainly need to bring the socialist vision away from education and get rid of public schools and replace it by private schooling and homeschooling. Didn't hear that much from our conservative and Christian friends in the 1980s and 1990s. And if you're not willing to take that javelin and shove it into the belly of the beast, friends, you're just going to see that beast continue to indoctrinate the next generation and prepare them to be the socialists and the Marxists of the next generation and the next and the next. For a moment, Dave, I want to go through some of the summaries of all of the blogging I have heard. People are just in shock. Right now, it is post-election shock in America. And they're finally coming to the conclusion that this may be the end. I'm telling you, friends, I mean, here is something Dave just pointed out to me this morning. This is the Canada Free Press with the subline on the CanadaFreePress.com website, because without America, there is no free world. So apparently people up in Canada are still hoping that America, as the last experiment in freedom, will actually pull it out. We're not going to. Not in the near future. However, there is a second Mayflower slowly growing in the hearts and minds and homes of tens of thousands of Americans and others across the world. And I'm hoping that another free country will be espoused in the next 100 years or so. But this article, post-election at Canada Free Press, speaks of the end of an empire. The Constitutional Republic died a peaceful death on November 6, 2012, having reached the point of no return in a comatose state after years of progressive and legal immigration assaults. The fabric of conservative society is now completely unraveled, and Uncle Sam's America is no more. So RIP from the Canada Free Press for the state of the United States of America. And they're talking about communism, the welfare dependent Americans, the unions, the illegal aliens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's their take on it. And Cal Thomas also had something similar where he talks about the end of empires as well and suggests that this may signal the end of America. And yet we've got lots and lots and lots of feedback from lots of places. Here's an article called No Longer Your Father's Electorate. I believe this was one of the liberal presses. Obama received an all-time low vote from American males. Apparently only one in three American males voted for Obama. That's the lowest that any Democrat or any Republican president has ever received. So the males are not going for Barack Obama, but Obama wins because of the women's vote. And he said it's the women and the homosexuals that are coming out and voting for Barack Obama, and the young people, of course, as well. So you got the young people, the women, the Hispanics, and the homosexuals that are going for Obama. Apparently, homosexuals went for Obama by a 54% majority, friends. Romney worked pretty hard for that 23%, Dave. I mean, you know, he was out there condemning the Boy Scouts because of their avoidance of homosexual counselors and such for the boys there in the Boy Scout. And Romney was dead set against that and did everything he possibly could to maintain a strong pro-homosexual agenda and a pro-homosexual line to try to get as much as he could out of the 23% of homosexuals that went for Mitt Romney. So Obama walked away with a 54% margin on homosexuals. And according to this article, it's no longer your father's electorate. It's more women. It's more homosexuals. It's the young people that are going for the pro-socialist, pro-homosexual agenda. And of course, we've said that many, many times on this broadcast.
It's the anti-family crowd. Yeah. Let's say it's the anti-family. Right. It's the divorced
woman.
They're
not getting married. Right.
It's the woman who does not have a man to provide for her. And so she needs Barack Obama to be her man. Of course, the homosexuals, they're not getting married, not in any real sense. They're not having families. They're not having children. And we got children coming from divorces, you know, that half of the marriages end in divorce. So half of those kids are saying, I can't depend on a family. I can't depend on the stability of a husband and a wife staying together. I think I'll depend on the government instead. They seem like they got deeper pockets.
You know, Mike Ferris also came in on something similar. This, I think, was one of the tweets or one of his Facebook entries. This is Mike Ferris, president of Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Here's a quote. When women got the right to vote, the movement began for government to take care of them. That's pretty gutsy. I mean, you know, he's saying when they got the right to vote, that began the movement towards government taking care of them. It's interesting. I mean, I didn't expect that from Mike Ferris. We've been saying, you know, something like that over a number of years. And Dave, granted, the largest socialist voting bloc tends to be single women. We've said that, I think, 100 times if we said it once. Yeah, I mean, friends, hey, why not get back to household-based economies? Okay, what if we bring back the family? And what if, you know, churches, conservative Christians, Christian leaders stand up and say, hey, let's reintegrate families into economies. Let's reintegrate families into voting. Oh, did I just say that? Did I just say that? Reintegrate families into voting? Which means, Dave, I'm not opposed to single women-led households where you have a widow who gets a chance to vote. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, why don't we reintegrate families into voting? That's all I'm saying. And Dave, you know that the socialists have done everything they possibly can, all the way back from suffrage and the feminism of the 19th century. They have done everything they can to increase availability to divorce. The feminists have done everything they can to increase the availability of the vote. The independent career job sort of thing where there's no family economy that's integrated. They've done everything they can to disintegrate the family in the 21st century and the 20th century. And friends, we are looking at the consequences now until we get the family economies rebuilt. Unless families come back together and say, hey, why don't we reintegrate? Why the family's a great concept. God had something there when he invented the family back in the Garden of Eden. Why don't we make sure that we do everything we can to reintegrate the family in the 21st century? And let's make sure that college and education, everything we do to train our young daughters and our young sons to get engaged in economies will take into consideration the family-oriented economy. Dave, man, I've been saying that for a long time, and I'm hoping that our family economics conferences will really take off in that regard. And I'm guessing that Mike Ferris is going to get behind that concept with quotes like this.
Yeah, I don't know what Mike Ferris is going to do, but I will say this, that there is a link between private property and family. And the communists have understood this from the very beginning, that if you want to take over property, that is, you want to make all property public, the only way you can do it is by severing the family. Now, think about it. If you have an inheritance to pass on to your child, that does not belong to the government. So an inheritance tax comes along, and we're going to start breaking up the generations. But divorce comes along. When the idea of a no-fault divorce, that breaks the very initial formation of the family and breaks that up. the communists have been working very diligently in order to take over property, to also take over the family. And that's why it's so common to hear a socialist judge say, all your children does belong to us. That's why we find that schools don't think they need parental approval anymore to teach subjects that parents might find objectionable, because the family is no longer respected.
Mike Ferris, friends, he has come out on this election. I think I've seen 2 to 3 different articles and Facebook entries from Mike on the election. And I'm going over the different inputs that others have made. And I think this is helpful as we try to analyze where we are and where we're headed as a nation. Again, these are respected people that I'm quoting now. Mike Ferris, he says that the women, the Hispanics, the young people, they're effectively the reason why the Democrats and Barack Obama are winning in these elections. He also says the 8 million people who did not vote are people who are disillusioned by the worst Republican candidate in 30 years. Dave, I think I have to agree with him on that one. I couldn't find any demographics on the people who did not vote, and I'm guessing maybe there's somebody out there trying to figure out who they are and trying to do some interviews with them. But my guess is there are a number of people who did not vote because they were disillusioned with the worst Republican candidate in 30 years. And there's a lot of folks, a number of people who have mentioned that issue. Joel Rosenberg also brought something else out like that. He says there are 8 million people that did not vote. He did say that 6 million evangelical Christians still voted for Obama. That's 6% of the vote. By the way, that's one reason why Obama won. You know, you took all the evangelicals that voted for Obama and you told them, hey, maybe you shouldn't vote for the most pro-infanticide, pro-abortion, pro-socialist, pro-big government, pro-fascist government, president that ever ran for president of the United States. You know, maybe you ought to consider biblical principle when you get into the voting booth. But here's the issue, Dave, with the 6 million evangelical Christians that voted for Obama. I think you got to remember that there's always X percent of evangelicals that are in the process of apostasy. I mean, that's one thing that guys like Joel Rosenberg, I don't think, are considering. That, you know, these people, it's always going to be a group of people that are leaving the evangelical church, or they're on the liberal end of it, and they're trying to break off a piece of evangelicalism into liberalism. And you're probably going to get that from generation to generation. Hey, we're in the area of apostasy. We have been for the last 150 years. Would be no surprise to me if you had 6 million people in evangelical churches that are saying, hey, I don't like God's law. I don't like God. I don't like the Bible. I'm just going to apostatize and vote for somebody like Barack Obama for president.
Well, maybe they could go Roman Catholics. I understand a majority of the Roman Catholics also voted for Obama. Look, the general in this election, we've seen, well, since Reagan, here's what the Republicans have put up. They put up Bush 1, yeah, and then they put up Dole, and they put up Bush 2, and then they put up McCain, and now they put up Romney. And what's the lesson? The lesson is, of course, you can't nominate these far right wing liberals. I mean, conservatives. You can't nominate these far right wing conservatives and win, right? That's what the press is talking about. I think the lesson is this: fear God, kiss the Son, lest you perish in the way. And these, you know, Bush, Dole, Bush, McCain, Romney, which one of these feared God again?
Yeah, Dave, I think America generally is moving left. I mean, even if there are 8 million people that stayed home and didn't vote, you look at the vast majority of Americans. The vast majority of Americans preferred the most liberal possible Republican and the most liberal possible Democrat as the candidates to run. I mean, they just did. The Americans preferred them. That's why Romney won the Republican nomination, because he was liberal and American Republicans like liberals.
Republicans were ostracized for standing up for protection of life, even in cases of rape and incest. They were ostracized. Their funds were cut off. Need I mention Aiken in Missouri? They were ostracized for speaking against homosexuals and this push to give homosexuals approval and funding. They were ostracized for believing that the word of God is dependable when it talks about things like creation or sin. Republicans, now, I'm not talking about the Democrats now, I'm talking about the Republican Party is cannibalizing itself against those who do fear God.
I keep wondering if a third party would be possible, Dave. It's hard to know. I mean, there's probably a percentage of Americans that still believe in principle and would go for a pretty decent, righteous candidate who stands on the principles of the Word of God. Okay, let me run over a couple other people who've weighed in on this one. Kevin DeYoung. This guy's a young, restless, and reformed fellow from up in Michigan area. Kevin DeYoung said, you got to pray for your present, God, honor your president. A number of the reformed pastors and such are talking about praying for presidents. Al Mohler effectively said the same thing. Pray for the president. Pray that God will change his heart on a host of issues. And they all refer to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's important to bring supplications, prayers, intercessions, givings of thanks for governors, for kings, and for those in authority, that you may live lives of peace. And I think it's important to realize that the prayer is focused on that, the idea of Christians being left alone, and that Christians have some peacefulness and are able to live righteous lives and peaceful lives without excessive molestation from the civil magistrate. Okay, also Al Mohler said people in America are divided, deeply divided, and that may be a good point. I think they are deeply divided. I think we may have more division now than we did in the 1970s. I think the pro-life issue has divided America, don't you think? I mean, compare 1975, you know, to, or, you know, Gerald Ford running against Jimmy Carter. Think of that race and compare that to the present race, Dave. And granted, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between Romney and Obama in terms of their record. But it seems like there is a fair number of Americans right now that take a fairly strong pro-life stand, and that may not have been the case in 1975.
Kevin, the issue of Americans being divided, I think, is true. We're more divided than we've ever been. But that only bothers us because we bought this lie, e pluribus unum, that we were here to unite humanity under one flag, that we could all do things together. But Jesus came to divide. You understand? Jesus came to separate. And so a separated nation is not necessarily a bad thing. What we want is a just nation.
Well, you know, the only possible unity, I believe, is a unity under Christ, and attempts of the United Nations, anywhere else, United States, anybody else, to bring the e pluribus unum together without a unity around a principle. And what is that principle? But the word of God, the principles of Christ, the teachings of Christ, at least, you know, I mean, granted, we're not going to get, you know, 100% uniformity on every little thing. But unless we have some basic cultural common denominator, and I would say it's got to be Jesus Christ, as revealed to us in the scriptures of Old and New Testaments, unless there is some kind of a unity on that basis, friends, you can kiss the unity goodbye. The whole diversity thing is going to explode in our faces. And we're not going to have any kind of a unified nation in the years to come. Dave, I've already gotten a number of articles. Texas has already appealed for secession. Apparently, a petition has been signed and sent off to the White House. Here's another article here. Union dissolved. I think 20 other nations. Yeah, 20 states.
40. It's now 40. It's now 40.
40 states have been working on the petitions for secession from the Union. Americans are not happy. I think America is deeply divided. It seems like Al Mohler may be right on this one. And there is, I mean, this wasn't happening 4 years ago. This wasn't happening 8 years ago. This is happening now. You know, it may, and granted, right now, they got 25,000 people who signed the petition for Texas. And, okay, it's not going to happen maybe in the next year or 4 years. But the way things are going economically and socially in this country and politically, and the division that is happening across this nation right now is getting out of hand.
It is getting out of hand. And if continues down this road in 10 years or 20 years, I think the United States will break up into separate nations. There'll be mass immigrations as people move from conservative areas to liberal areas and liberal areas to conservative areas. But that's all speculation at this point. What we do know is there's this first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. That is absolutely inconsistent and intolerable with the doctrine of separation of church and state, because Christians cannot tolerate other religions because there is only one God. We say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to the EPA. It belongs to God. That's our first principle of the land. They don't believe that. Now, those are irreconcilable differences. Yeah. Christians cannot live with pantheism as the ruling.
And Christians can't live with Muslims.
No.
As the ruling principle in the land.
And Muslims can't live with Christians either. So, you know,
it's proven that point, with their hand grenades and the rest. Okay, friends, Al Mohler says, this is his response, pray for the president. People are deeply divided. Americans are more secular and more urban than ever before. And that's absolutely true. I mean, the blue states are really blue cities. Let's face it. They're blue cities. The blue states are blue cities.
Right. It's not so much states. It's cities, population density.
Cities tend to be evil. Cities tend to not like God's law. The city of anonymity tends to be an immoral city. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I mean, that's where the red light districts are. You don't have to get a, you don't get a red light district in Elizabeth, Colorado. Okay. Okay. It just doesn't work.
No, but you can get stopped by a red light, which is really annoying.
And I think there's only one of them.
And it's very annoying. Okay. There's not cars for miles.
Okay. You know, Dave, here's something interesting. I think education plays into this as well. And I'm not sure this is something that Al Mohler brings out. Almost nobody talks about education. I think one or two people do. But the fact of the matter is there was a blue state, blue city, blue university professor that was talking about the red states. And he says all these people from the red states, they raise their kids. They raise more kids. They get a lot more kids than the blue people do. But they send their red state kids off to blue universities in the blue cities. And so we take care of that from there on out. So don't worry about it. The Americans are more secular and more urban than ever before because they send their kids to universities. Republicans cannot win with the present electoral college and gerrymandering. That's another point he makes. And also, 2012 election was a catastrophe for moral issues. And he says, don't put much of your hope in politics. Okay, so I agree with a lot of what Al Mohler said there. A guy named Rick Phillips, which I think he's another Baptist leader somewhere in America. He talks about moral degeneracy is out of control. He said we need to reach out to our neighbors and pray more. It's his solution. Mentioned Joel Rosenberg earlier. Also, David Gibson for the Religious News Service's exit polls indicated that evangelicals turned out more strongly for Romney or against Obama than they had for any other Republican in history. But that nearly 80% margin was still not enough in raw numbers to put the GOP ticket over the top. Now, that may have been because Romney was more liberal than any Republican had ever run before. So that may have been one reason. And evangelicals are moving left. And so it's hard to say that would have contributed much. Also, here's a few others. According to Jim Jordan, who's a representative, an Ohio Republican, Mitt Romney is a good man, he says. But let's just be honest. We Republicans nominated the most liberal Republican nominee in history. So you know, hey, apparently, according to this guy, and according to Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, these liberals are probably going to lose. So now there's the big tent, the small tent concept, and that debate continues. I'm not sure I know which side is going to win. Whether you bring the big tent guy in or whether you bring the conservative in, I would say a leader, a good Christian leader, might do a good job. Somebody who went in there, had a good agenda, and was principled and was able to lead the nation, I think he might still have an opportunity to win as president of the United States. It's hard to figure. But again, all these things are in God's hands. Hardly anybody mentioned the sovereignty of God, by the way. God is totally sovereign in these elections. And it would be good for us to start just doing what God wants us to do and leave the outcome up to him. Here's the Gospel Coalition. The churches are missing the Hispanics big time, they say. They're not discipling the nations, which is probably true. Marvin Alasky from World Magazine. He said 50 years ago, increasingly liberal college faculties began to exclude dissenters from the new academic orthodoxy. And I would just say it wasn't 50 years ago, it was about 350 years ago when that was happening, Marvin. But also he says 40 years ago, this is Marvin Alasky from World Magazine, state after state created no-fault divorce and marriage became a contract breakable by one party for any reason rather than a lifetime commitment. Married women still vote Republican, but the increasing number of never married and divorced vote overwhelmingly Democrat. That is a good point as well. He says 30 years ago, the moral majority emphasized short-term fixes rather than long-term preaching of the gospel and working to transform culture. Probably true. And 20 years ago, talk radio left many conservatives thinking that they had a weapon adequate to overcome the influences of liberal newspapers, news magazines. He says that proved untrue. And I'm not sure that's true, but that's because he's got one of the magazines and it's still important to get magazines into people's hands. So I'm not sure that's a really big contributor to the fact that Romney lost the election. He also says that George W. Bush made bad mistakes to get into the Middle Eastern wars and Republicans ignore Hispanics. So those are the things that Marvin Alasky included in the debate. Ron Paul also had some comments. He says America is too far gone. America is not salvageable. We are a characterless welfare state. And that's pretty much my assessment of all the people that were out there blogging on the 2012 elections, Dave. So what do you think?
Well, Kevin, one of the common threads in so many of these is that we're not reaching this group or that group. We're not reaching the Hispanics or we're not reaching the women. You know, if our principles are truly principles, they're God's principles, it doesn't matter if we're talking about Hispanics. We don't talk about Hispanics differently. Who are Hispanics? Hispanics?
People who need to fear God.
Yeah. They're
just like the rest of us.
They're descendants of Noah and eight people.
Right.
It really doesn't matter what their heritage was. What matters is these principles are eternal, abiding principles under God. And that's what we should be focusing on. We should not be focusing on trying to get the Hispanic vote. We should not be focusing on trying to get a liberal candidate. We should be focusing on the kingdom of God and somebody who represents that. And those principles will span genders and generations and cultures.
Well, folks, as we wrap up, I think we need to talk about strategy. I mean, not many people are talking strategy, but we need to understand where to go from here. And yeah, we all know what the problems are. America has not been discipled, and we need to find discipled nations, and we need to find nations to be discipled. And that includes Hispanics, but includes just about anything. Now, if America as a nation is getting increasingly impossible to disciple from the top down, that's always not the best way to disciple a nation anyway. So why don't we just look around for nations that we can disciple, nations that are open to the discipleship, and let's reach out to them and begin to disciple them. That means let's disciple families. Let's disciple our own little shepherd centers, our own discipleship centers, our own little church communities, our own little neighborhoods. Let's find groups. Let's disciple them. Let's disciple businesses. Let's disciple charitable organizations. Let's disciple the area of medical care. Let's bring in systems of discipleship into organizations and bodies of people whereby people begin to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded in his word. Let's not disciple them in Marxism. Let's disciple them in what Jesus taught, the laws of God found in Old and New Testaments. And some of those laws may not be all that popular. Matthew 15 and verse 4, whosoever shall curse his father and mother shall be put to death. Matthew chapter 5, if a man looks after another man, a woman to lust after her in his heart, he has committed adultery. Let's just pick these laws one by one. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if a man does not take care of his own family, he has denied the faith, is worse than an infidel. Let's make sure we teach them how to provide for their own families and not go onto government welfare. And if there is somebody, a widow who needs help, her own family should take care of her, or the church should take care of her, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5. These are God's commandments. These are Christ's commandments. And we need to systematically work through family and church and disciple the nations in each and one of every one of these sorts of commandments. Teach God's laws and maintain firm stances on these things. And it is true, culture, family, education is the core battle. And that's what we've been battling here on this program for a long time. And you know what? We're not hearing a whole lot of Christian churches going at Carrie Underwood. They're not going after the sorts of cultural things that are seeping into the bloodstreams of the youth. You know why the youth are going sour? Because they're getting the cultural system. You know why they're much more pro-homosexual? Because they listen to Carrie Underwood, who is pro-homosexual, and she says she is. The reason why the kids are moving more and more liberal is because they're plugged into the iPods and they have cultural systems that are systematically eroding them, and largely because the parent-child relationship has been eroded. And until we restore the father-son parent-child relationship, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to see our children being led by the nose by the Katy Perrys of the world, who are teaching little 13-year-old teeny boppers to be lesbians, and Carrie Underwood and the rest. We got to deal with culture. We have to deal with education. You send your kids to a public school, they're going to vote liberal in the year 2025. You send them to a public university, the vast majority of them will vote liberal in 2025. There are a few exceptions to that rule, but until we get a Christian form of education, until we bear down and really examine the problems with humanist, classical, Greek education, until we really come to grips with the methodology and the content of humanist education and we replace it with a distinctively Christian worldview-based education, we're going to see Barack Obama and the guy you really didn't want to see elected in 2024 and 2028 and 2032. Okay, my friends, this is where the battle is. Politics is only about 7% of the battle. The discipleship of the nations will happen when we begin to teach godly culture, godly music, godly forms of education, a biblical worldview that undergirds all these things. And Dave, I think the parent-child relationship is essential. I mean, the breakdown of the family, and everybody knows this, the breakdown of the family will necessarily lead to a welfare nation. And then the unraveling of things. And let me add one more thing. Not everybody wants to say this, friends, but I'm going to say it right now. We need to plan for the future. We need to plan for the breakdown of our present systems. The present welfare systems are not going to be there. And you say, well, what will be there for the dysfunctional families of the year 2040, 2050, 2060? starvation, the unraveling of society as we know it, blood in the streets. You know what? We're going to be stuck with discipling the nations one way or the other. Better get started now. Better start preparing. Better start building families and churches with the idea that decentralization is coming. Don't fund your big presidential campaigns to the tune of $2 billion. That's a ripoff. Focus on building godly communities, godly churches, godly families. Build decent culture, decent educational systems in your local communities. Start now and don't rely on the federal government for your charitable handouts. Don't rely on the federal government for Social Security, for your parents, for your grandparents, for yourselves. You got to abandon that system. You're going to have to build another system and do so on the principles that Jesus gave us. Of course, charity has to be voluntary. Of course, it has to be local. Of course, it has to be accountable. We have to start now with these projects or it's going to be bust in the year 2045. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. If you'd like a book on what we're talking about, I have been working on this book since the early 1990s, my friends, because I've seen the handwriting on the wall for a long time. A lot of other people are getting on board with the idea. They're understanding that we have to build our own second Mayflower movement right now. And the nuts and bolts of it is contained in my book, The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.